Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Chris.
Morning, Jada. And hi, Connor Garage. Welcome.
Hi, Chris. Good morning.
Hi, Chris. Can you hear me?
Hi, Tin. Yes. Welcome.
Last week you said that I should prepare some slide explaining about the BNF package, what the BNF descriptor will come in.
Yes.
You add me in the agenda? Oh, I see
Yes.
it now.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks.
Sure. Let's see. Get started in just another minute or so. Okay, it looks like the joins have slowed, so why don't we get started? Let's see. So first of all, logistics. We concluded the PTL election, and thank you all for your support. I have been reelected for the next year. Jess has put in the info.yaml file with all the committer permissions for each one of our repos. The committer promotions have all been accounted for by Linux Foundation, and we should have significant support. So for all of you new committers, you should have your plus two rights by now. Next week is M2. I'm not going to do the checklist on this call just because we have some other topics, but I will post that online later today, so please take a look. If you have any comments, feel free to edit or to send email. What I'd like to do today is talk about the architecture. We had a couple of proposals from Victor and Kana Garage, and some discussion on the mailing list. Kailun sent in some feedback, and then also discuss the etc VNF package requirements. And Tian is going to talk about that, and then status and Jira review, and then any new business. Let's see. And I do not see Victor yet. So Tin, why don't we start with you, if you're ready, to do the VNF package requirements?
Sure, I can do that.
Okay, let me stop my share, and I'll hand it over to you.
Thank you. Okay. I think first let me give an overview of what the key points of the VNF descriptor, because the VNF descriptor is part of the VNF package, and VNF SDK projects has to, I guess, parse and validate the entire package, which include the VNF descriptor. So the two slides that I have prepared for you here give an overview. So first, let me give you the single service template design. We have two template design, right, with varieties of different possible options. On this design, the single service template design, now, the first thing is that because we are introduced a new set of types, Tosca types, so therefore there will be a separate YAML file in the could be in the VNF package or could be referenced on a public URL that any validation tool can fetch it and to validate. So what this type file, the first one is the import SOL1 NFV types. What this type is that this file contains all of the standards Tosca NFV declare types. That's include like VDU, virtual link, connection points, and all different types that we standardize and declare. That's the official everyone vendor that built compliant to SOL1 must build based on that type. So it's important if VNF SDK doing the validation tool, you need to be able to have that types in your system and understand the types. So that's the important part. Okay. The other things, and then this is not new, we agree that we're not going to create any new Tosca type definitions. We are going to use the same Tosca definition versions. So for supporting Tosca YAML 1.1, every vendor must put this statement on the headers. Okay? So that's the first part that's important. The second part is this node types, okay? And here you see it in this single service template. But when you go to a two level service template design, it's a little bit different. Here it's included in one single template. This special node types here is to declare what is the actual abstract of the VNF that delivering in this VNF package. Okay, and this is the name, like here, Tosca node NFV example VNF. That will be the vendor choice of naming of these types. What's important is that it derived from the standard VNF, node types. So again, when you do the validation tool, you need to take that into the considerations and be aware of this. And this should be no problem for any kind of Tosca validation tool. Another important thing that will be in there and is required is the flavor ID. That has to be there to make the rest of the components inside the VNF to make it work. Now, this is a single service template design. I will jump into this, the two-level service template design. The reason I want to bring this up is that the two-level service template design is to be designed to support one or more multiple deployment flavor. So if a VNF providers know that their VNF in the future or someday will support multiple flavor, they may start their design based on this concept instead of single. If you know your VNF only support one flavor for the life of that VNF, you may choose to design this way. If you, as a software vendor, may know that that VNF will go, be able to go into multiple, even though you are delivering to your customer as a single flavor, you have a choice to go with single service design template or multi-level service design template. So we need to take this into account, even though we are delivering single flavor. So the key difference here is this types right here. Let me see. Okay, so here, the top level, this is his top level right here.
How would we know the intention? I mean, I don't see anything here that would declare the intention of doing it. We can't read minds. So we can validate the syntax. We can validate that, you know, maybe ONAP specific is done correctly, but how do we know what they're doing?
What's the vendor's intent was, is?
Yeah, I mean, like you're saying, oh, they have choices. They have, how do they declare their choice?
Well, there are some key, except there are some key design different, not key design, but key elements of the syntax and grammar. So based on those grammar.
A standard Tosca grammar.
It is Tosca, standard Tosca grammar. But if you read, you always, okay, first of all, in the single YAML VNF package, the package, the CSI package that we deliver, always point to the single, the first entry point. So of course, if you already got one service template design, hang on, Alex. So you have an entry point of this, and this entry point only represents, and it has no pointers to other template. You can safely assume that it is a single template design with a single deployment.
But that's just in this case.
Hang on. In this case, where couple key thing, your entry point is this one I'm doing here, a top left. It indicate a lot of things that it is based on multi-level and support. So you can see the different import statements, right? And the topology template difference. But what the key point here is that in multi-level, the vendor node type definitions, okay, this up the lower left is another template separate. So when you look at this, you will have to import, you look at the import statement that you point you to the lower left, and this lower left is the one that represent what is the VNF types definitions are. See, this is separate service template for VNF specifics. So that's the only thing different.
But all of this is at best recommendations. The standard doesn't say you must do it this way. The standard simply says that if you are going to do certain things like deployment flavors and whatever, this is how you might consider it. But somebody might do it a different way.
Well, true, but here we at least stand.
Hear me out, Alex. This is what I'm saying. How do we, how do you validate something that is not a standard?
Not a, this is standards.
Or is it the other way? We just have to be able to support this.
Well, we have to be able to support something like this, but, you know, I'm looking at the VNF SDK problem, right? And part of it is how far do we go to actually validate the templates? So, you know, we can look at specific fields and their meaning. For example, you know, things that are specific to NFV that may have key value pair values that, you know, need to be very specific, or other fields and attributes that need to be done in a very specific way or need to be present because otherwise things won't work. We can look for those things. Uh-huh. We can look for mandatory fields, and if they're not there, we can say, hey, you forgot something that the orchestrators will require, so you no go. But a lot of what we're talking about here are best practices for how you would do something. And as far as I know, nowhere in the spec does it say you must do it this way or else.
Well, in Sol, in the version 9, it specifically make clear statement, the VNF descriptor shall put this key points right here, this all key input import statements, shall do this. So you can validate that. It has this, shall include this, right? So you can look at that and you can see what normative shall and should and may, excuse me, and you can validate. And it's true, you're not going to be able to validate the actual meaning how this whole multiple level service, but what you can validate is make sure, right, that all the import statements and they are, each of these templates are validated based on the grammar, make sure that the syntax, the grammar are correct, the types are correctly defined and usage, right? For example, let me give you an example. If I don't include this lower left, okay, when you validate this top level, let's assume that you somehow skip the import. When you see this types declare, you will flag a red flag because there's nowhere in the package that say there is a type definition called Tosca node NFV example VNF. So you automatically fail this package because it did not have anywhere, any place that define what this is, right?
Well, but that would be failed by a Tosca interpreter as well, right?
Or
by
exactly. So I think here
I guess I'm asking, this is another question that I have. A lot of what you're asking us to do from a validation perspective would be, would almost assume a Tosca orchestrator. Right? How much of this is really relevant if I've got some other orchestration mechanism?
Okay.
So I'll give you an example. SO and like what we do today, what's going to happen? Are we expecting to process this with using a Tosca orchestrator?
No. Well, depend. First, if it's Tosca orchestrators, it's only be able to understand the basic grammar, right? But it would not understand the types, like for example, here, the VNF type. We not know what the VNF. So these SO must import the Sol 1 NFV types. Then he would understand what these types are. Now, granted, SO need to be able to take some of the Sol type spec and import it in and build it. But if you take it to generic or any orchestrator that do not understand Sol 1 NFV types, you would automatically fail, or the service template would be rejected. We'll mark as a failures.
So, yeah. So how much of this is being accepted by SDC? Because that's really what's driving us.
Not even SDC. This is all going to apply to SO and policy and any other client that's going to download and try to interpret the content of the NF descriptor. The SDC is going to look at the types. And it's not a big, not a horribly big job, right? But then we have to parse this in a number of different places. And if we're parsing this inside policy to extract, you know, all the placement policies and other things, if we're doing parsing this to extract information about scaling, we're almost...
But Alex, wait. Let's not get tangent. What, in the context of VNF SDK, the VNF SDK project is to first...
But VNF SDK is just a motherhood check.
Yes, but let's walk through piece by piece first. So from a VNF SDK point of view, if I understand correctly, is to validate the VNF package, right? The integrity and the content of the VNF package. So one of the content of the VNF package is the VNF descriptor. So here I highlight some of the key points. It's up to the tool and the team to decide how best to look for these items, right?
So now, Tim, you're saying this is the onboarding descriptor, right? That's being provided by the vendor? Is that the
yes.
concept? Yes. That's what ND is.
So that's the first part, right? Now,
does the VNF descriptor expand to actually the operational aspects of it? I think that's, or is it just onboarding?
It's also on, well, in, I'll speak in Etsy term here. In the Etsy world, the VNF descriptor also used during the operations, during the entire life of the VNF.
So it does also, yeah.
But recall we have internal VNF descriptors, so we have to be able to, if we want to use the Sol 001, we have to figure out how we can map it into the internal descriptor. But there might be aspects of this that we can use in our internal descriptor design, right? So if there's elements and styles that are being used in this, we could, you know, kind of duplicate those if we find them useful within our own.
Well, so we need to, there are two things we kind of need to consider here, right? Well, three. One is what is good enough from the validation perspective. The second part is to recognize...
When you say validation, you mean the onboarding validation. So what we're accepting as the vendor package.
Well, so
the
way, SDK. The way I look at it, VNF SDK could be used twice. First by the vendor to make sure that what they're giving us is actually sane. And then we're not going to trust what they give us. So in the spirit of trust but verify, on the operator side, you know, inside ONAP, we would have to run the validations again, because who knows where that VNF came from.
Yep.
So if we do that, that's great. We can validate.
But that's the whole package as well. It's not just the descriptor. It's the whole package.
Yes, and the other
artifacts.
Yeah, I agree entirely, right? But then, you know, the other part of this, it's almost like we need to build a new parsing / extraction facility that we can use in a lot of different places.
No, I think if you ask Miami what I would recommend to starting for a VNF SDK to look first is to start focus on this Sol 1 NFV type, the YAML types, all right? That's the core of all the type for all of these. So now, of course, this document contains much more than what's current with ONAP can or will use, but at least you have...
Okay, so that's another point. Great, that's another point. So we need to look at, even for onboarding, we need to look at Sol 001 and look at which points or which piece parts of Sol 001 are pertinent to onboarding VNFs to ONAP. So that might be something that the guidelines, you know, the VNF Tosca guidelines should do as well, but they should be supported in the VNF SDK. Am I getting that right?
Yes. We're running a bit long on this, so we need to start wrapping on this topic.
So, So here's Chris. I would say for the next couple of weeks, you know, focus on this file that I'm showing on screen. Now, granted, this file is a work in progress. There are some errors, but at least you begin to understand what officially will be delivering by the vendor, right? Or supported by the vendor. So all these, everything is a type definition, official type definition that vendors shall be complied to if they delivering Etsy-based solutions. So this is a list of all the types. So granted, you don't have to support all of this first. That's depend on the modeling group and SDC to give you the guidance of which priority you need to make sure that your tool be able to parse and understand some of these types. But more important is that that's the starting point. I can share this document with the group, but be aware this is a version 0.9, right? 0.09. It's work in progress. Okay? There are some errors and there are some stuff that we are refixing it, but at least have an idea.
Then
we can take up another call to discuss some other issues people raise.
I think we need to have a separate call, Chris, to discuss the validation.
Yeah.
Because we need to understand, tear this apart and figure out what is just, you know, standard Tosca versus what is unique about this that we need to validate in addition to what you would get out of a standard Tosca tools.
Yes. Tim, why don't you put your slides and your document on the meeting minutes page under the slide section, and then people can review it offline, and we can come back to this in a future call.
Okay. Just let me know how I can help.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
So now I'd like to go to Victor and Kind of Garage. I asked them to do a couple of architecture presentations about how we can clean up our architecture given the enhanced scope of the project. We started with Kind of Garage last time, so let's start with Victor today. Victor, can you share your presentation, please?
So should I? Because we already merged the proposal that with Kind of Garage. So should I present my presentation separately, or Kind of Garage, you can present our merged proposal as well?
Yeah, you can do the merged proposal. That would be fine.
Okay. So Kind of, can you help me share the screen that we can present that?
Yeah, I'll share.
Well, nice. I joined by using my phone, so
Zoom works really well on the phone, guys.
So my desktop is visible?
Yes, we see it.
Victor, you can take it.
Oh,
you want to go to that slide where we merged?
No, it's fine. So maybe I think I need to. So it's really hard for me to.
Okay. Do you have problem seeing the desktop, or I can walk through this. No problem.
Okay.
So shall I continue?
Sorry.
No, if we have a problem in seeing the screen, I will walk through the slides.
You can walk through this first. Let me open my desktop.
Okay, sure.
Thank you.
So last week we were discussing on the one approach. Basically that approach will give us to make the test cases, the results on VNF manageable. And one more thing, it provides test flow. Also, by using this approach, we can integrate like test cases back to back across the Dovetail and GNF SDK. So I think last week it was very cluttering. So I make the slides very simple to make it understandable. Okay, so we have GNF SDK, we have project for the marketplace. So we are enhancing that project to provide this test platform. Basically, it helps to onboard the different kind of test cases. Like it can come from vendor or the operator. So even those test cases can be in a different like a runtime based, say like Java or some scripting based. So basically, this objective of this platform is we should be able to facilitate the vendor or the operator to write the test cases in their own the known languages and onboard them into the platform. So that's the main objective from the vendor and operator.
When do we go from the VNF SDK to a test platform, being just a set of tools for the VNF suppliers, to a whole test platform?
Yeah, that's right. So when you're onboard, first you will install this platform, then onboard your test cases. So for running the test case, obviously you should have your runtime environment. This is just keeping your test cases ready so that you can run it from here. And Alex, on a small request, so shall we take the questions at the end of the meeting so that I can walk through in one shot? So it will give you a complete picture. Okay, so from vendor and operator side, we can onboard the test cases. And from the other side is like we want to run them from different places. Like say, Dovetail already provides the one kind of testing framework. So this platform will be integrated in the Dovetail. So from Dovetail, you can run all the VNF test cases required on the one app environment. Also from SDC, you can integrate with this platform so that you can run the test cases during the runtime. Also, and then you can see whether the, for example, the packages on roll validated properly or not. And it gives a standalone place where the operator or vendor can go at like a marketplace UI or the CLI for running a different test cases. It can be like a compliance test case, or it can be like a validation test cases. It can be of any nature.
So what's the? I'm struggling a little bit here, because up until now we've spoken about VNF SDK as something very lightweight, and now I see it being turned into something else. Am I misunderstanding your slides?
We've been talking about this, and most of this functionality exists. This is just cleaning up the architecture that we're using this with different use cases. So one of it is it can be used in the vendor environment. Second is it can be used for the compliance program or in an operator environment or a third-party testing lab. And so this is just the presentation on this. But let's try to hold the questions to the end so we can make sure we can get all the way through the proposal, and then we can discuss where we go from here.
Thanks. So I'll take the next. Okay, so this is what we initially discussed to bring up this kind of a platform. So if you look at here, we are not anything new. So in place of VNF SDK, we are enhancing the existing one. And so already VNF SDK has a integration with the Dovetail by means of VNF test. So the same the container will be used for the as integration point between the Dovetail and this platform. So this screen gives more of how the internal the high level architecture looks. So it has the controller gives you the front end, and where you can use the REST APIs. So whenever you, for example, you run the test case, the controller takes the API and then talk to the test center through the gRPC. And the test center will have a different runtime environment. So based on the test case already defined by the operator or vendor, so it will pick the right environment and then place the test case and then run them. So this from the like a test case development side. So from the consumption side, so you will have the portal and the CLI, and from the same portal or the CLI, the whenever you're running the test, so once all the tests are successful, you can publish the result to this OpenFE portal. It's like similarly like what we are doing with Doubtire. So in a, so as Chris was mentioning, so this platform facilitates to run the test case in a different scenarios. So first is a standalone mode. So it's like used in the third party lab testing, and the next is like vendor engagement mode, where SDC can communicate with the VNF SDK, the platform. And it can verify the package by using this platform. So today we have integration where we SDC imports the package into SDC from VNF SDK. So when we are having this platform in place, so once it's imported, even it can do the runtime validation on that package. So this is the third mode where the Doubtire and the VNF SDK is integrated through this the container called VNF test. So basically, Doubtire provides the different facilities to onboard the different containers, and each container will run the test case. So in Doubtire, the VNF test provides the container environment for this platform.
What is this? I'm sorry, I have to ask. I mean,
please.
Okay. So first, SDK means software development kit, not a test platform. So maybe we need to tease apart the tools we're providing to the VNF suppliers so that they can develop VNFs the right way and validate them from a very useful concept of a certification platform or validation platform as part of the marketplace, right? I think what we've been talking about all along is that diagram, that little color diagram that you showed, where we basically said, wouldn't it be cool if somebody could validate their VNF once they uploaded it to the marketplace, the same way Apple validates things in iTunes, you know, or by other means. So I'm not suggesting that the concept is bad. I'm just a little worried about the message we're sending.
Because that's part of our committed plan for this release is we've already done some of this Doubtire integration, and we're already planning to have the compliance test program by the end of Casablanca.
Not saying we shouldn't.
Yeah.
Simply saying I think we need to still provide a VNF SDK for VNF developers.
Right. That's still supported. Yeah. That doesn't change.
So the test platform is just a superset of those tools?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, actually that what we are seeing is that maybe here the platform is a different user story. We will still will provide the validation tools or others that can help the VNF developer to do the, some kind of validation or as maybe further is a function test or lifecycle test. So here is, yes, you are right, is a superset of the tools. But what we are talking about is currently is the boost the validation and the lifecycle and the function test. We just need maybe some kind of a test framework, right?
So right. So if I develop my VNFs and by means that I want to use because I have my own best practices inside my company, I'm more than happy to have tests run on them when I upload them. But I probably wouldn't want to change my entire world just for ONAP, at least not in the beginning, because I want to build my VNFs once for everybody. So I have my own internal tool chain for doing that, and I kind of don't see anybody running and bringing this down into their environments. However, if it's available, I would use it. The other thing I have a question about is this container business. Do I have to create containers now to test my VNFs?
That's not a mandatory. I think. I'm sorry.
I think it maybe it depends that maybe I'm not sure that for the container of a container of the VMFD itself, I think it's do not need to VMFD wrapper to this. But if your VMF is container based, that it depends on what is the runtime to do the left circle test. It's not related to the VM SDK, I think. Just as a okay, Chris.
Well, yeah, Dovetail requires containers. Dovetail runs containers. So VNF test is a container that runs VNF SDK. Yeah. And what we're talking about here is having different test sets that can be loaded into the tool. One would be the vendor validation tools, just like we've been doing. So none of this changes. But then we may have additional tests that we need to bring in for the compliance program. And we want a flexible engine to be able to do that. So what we're saying is let's clean up the architecture so it doesn't look like we're running four different test programs. And if we can do it all in one tool with a common architecture.
Think about the barrier to adoption, right? You know, you think about yourself as a VNF supplier and ask yourself how much of this is likely to get adopted if you already have existing processes.
But this doesn't change much from what we already have. This is an internal thing in the marketplace for, you know, how do we make it easier to add tests?
Okay, gotcha. So just the marketplace. I don't need to download this as a vendor to my site, to my company, and do what and run all this on premise.
Package tools are still package tools. If you want to run the rest of the marketplace in your facility, you're welcome to do that. But we're not changing the package tools here.
Okay.
Maybe in the diagram, go to the slide that shows the provider.
I'm sorry, which one?
So kind of what Alex is saying, there's two options for the VNF provider, correct? They can use this full platform, download it as a container and put it in their environment, or they can do what Alex was saying.
Yeah, correct? They can just do the package tools.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that shown separately?
Isn't that the third party test? Or no?
It's really that VNF down at the bottom in this diagram in the corner.
My concern is very simple. I want the barrier to entry for VNF providers to be as low as possible. And so to do that, we need to provide a lazy way out, right? So the least amount of change they have to make would be none. And all they would do is upload the VNF, and we would either accept it or reject it based on the tests we run in the marketplace.
Right.
That would be the least we can do, or the most we can do to lower the barrier to entry, right? Or, you know, if they want to do more due diligence, they should be able to do it. I agree. But it should be up to them how much. And one of the options should be that they don't change anything in terms of their own process. They simply upload the stuff that they want to share with the world, and it gets tested.
Right. Well, that doesn't change this.
Okay. Just want to make sure we're not going to require somebody to go, you know, to stand on their head to deliver a VNF into ONAP.
No, and we've gone through all these use cases during the planning up to M1. So this is just the architecture supporting that.
Okay.
We're not changing the use cases.
Yeah, I would recommend we remove the VNF SDK in parentheses and basically treat it as one of the tests that you run, but the test platform is really what we're discussing here. To me, they're two separate things. The SDK we provide to those who develop, and the test platform we provide for testing purposes anywhere. Just a thought.
So I think it's here just talking about what's in our project versus what's external to the project. But okay. So why don't we go ahead?
Okay. Okay. So we are here. So basically, like this platform gives for running the test cases across like Dovetail and VNF SDK. And so suppose we want to run the test, for example, say in under the Dota environment, you already have say the vendor one as something they already placed under the Dotail for testing their VNFs, and we want to leverage the testing into the VNF SDK. So we can put the integration across them, like it's like a backward integration. So from this the test platform, there's a plugin. So that plugin will talk to the CLI, and CLI will when you invoking the CLI, it will talk to the corresponding test tool, and then it will run the test cases.
And so to clarify this would be for lifecycle tests, is that right? We would then use Dovetail to load the VNF on top of a Vim, like OPNFV, and then be able to run the funk test or the yardstick performance tests on top of the VNF. Is that what you're thinking?
But how do you do? I mean, this all looks fine, right? I just two questions. One, how do you simulate an environment like ONAP with a simple OPNFV Vim?
Dovetail doesn't cover all of ONAP yet, so all you'd be able to do is just bring it up on top of OPNFV commercial versions.
What is that? And what is
excuse me? Right now, VNF test does work with an ONAP instance. When you set up a VNF test or the Dovetail, you need to set up also an ONAP instance and an OpenStack instance.
Oh, dear God.
And then the tests, they do not theoretical analysis. They actually deploy the VNF on ONAP, okay? And they validate that the VMs are created in OpenStack, and then they actually invoke all the APIs that are responsible for all the operations like start, end, scale up.
But on that, you mean like all the following the FCNSV way of doing this, or you're following the ONAP way of doing this? What are you testing?
We are working with ONAP. ONAP doesn't support all scenarios yet, right? So whatever ONAP does support, we call ONAP APIs with the package, okay, and see that it does handle it. And if there is something that ONAP doesn't support, so we can simulate it or, you know, do the actual piece of functionality by, okay, in the tool, okay? And then later on, when ONAP does support it, so it will be done through ONAP. But basically, what we do is do a real life instantiation and API invocation of the expected APIs.
I'm not sure which APIs yet, but okay.
A VNF needs to supply APIs for its non-functional lifecycle activities. Okay, let's say it needs to be able to ONAP needs to be the orchestrator, needs to be able to deploy it to get statistics out of it, right? To scale out.
So you're working somehow simulating. You're basically using apps, right?
Sorry.
You're using the app seed to manage the life cycle.
No. Currently, actually, this I did not develop this this test yet. But this is what we are trying to do is do all non-functional tests in real life. Okay. Okay, but let's say a VNF does require a certain, let's say, mapping or things like that in APC, or so the ONAP environment needs to be set up prior with all this configuration before running the test. So yeah, and this is consistent with the OPNFV guidelines that when you run a test, it should be run by a tester that knows what he's doing and knows how to set up a complicated environment.
Does this make tests? Okay, maybe we need to have a discussion about whether or not this actually holds water. But okay, let's say we will do some level of testing. We're gonna launch a VNF, and it's gonna sit there, and we're gonna run it through a set of test cases to simulate the use case instantiations. Is that the plan?
Yes.
Really?
Actually, it's already been done. Okay, we already have onboard and instantiation and termination. Okay, of a VNF. Automatic. You don't need anything special. You need to have an ownup environment up, and the VNF package, and you run the tool, and it's done.
Okay.
There is a video demo that you can watch.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So you were talking about that we need a OPNV Vim or something like that. So there need to be actually the orchestrator, okay? Because the VNF, what we are, you know, the Vims and all that are not our responsibility. They are OPNVs. We want to see that ONAP, that the VNFs that are in question are able to be controlled by the orchestrator, by ONAP.
Wouldn't it make sense? Okay, yeah, okay.
Okay, let's say I don't care if OpenStack does it nicely or not nicely, okay, because OpenStack is being tested by OPNV. I want to see that ONAP, no, the orchestrator knows to translate the package information correctly in order to do all the activities that make it happen. And that the VNF actually provides all the prerequisites in order for it to be manageable.
Okay.
So let's go on. I want to make sure we can get all the way through this presentation.
But Chris, you said something interesting. You said that we will use VNF test just to instantiate a VNF and then use the other three tools to do other tests. Fang test, 5 seconds. So can you?
Yeah, well, there was the previous slide. That was my question to Kana Garaj and Victor. Where you have the Dovetail plugin at the bottom, going back to Dovetail, is this if we wanted to run Funk Test or Yardstick on top of our VNF, something else that plugs into Dovetail beyond what we're doing, if we wanted to use those other tools with the VNF already loaded in there. Because I was trying to understand the use case for that Dovetail plugin, going back to the Dovetail CLI.
So these tests are always going to be one release behind, right?
Okay. So to answer to Chris' question, okay. So when we have VNF, so we need to test in different places. I think one of them is like compliance in the OneUp. Another is testing in the like on the OpenStack. So in as a part of our discussion, so we were telling like, so you can validate the VNF on the OpenStack through the that Vim environment through the Dovetail test tool. Okay, the same VNF can be validated against the OneUp as part of the compliance program. So that we need to run the test case across both the side. So there should be integration between them. So that's the intention behind.
Okay.
But the intent is to run, to just, you know, bring up a VNF. And are we testing the interaction of that VNF with other VNFs as well? I mean, are we actually, I mean, how far are we going with the certification?
Oh, this is, yes, I think this is a good, you know, a good plan for the future to, to, let's say have a example service and use you know, different VNFs using placeholder, and to see that the
okay. So for that, I think we need to come up with, say, it just gives like a platform where we can just achieve what we wanted. So one of them could be like the life cycle or the function, or like what Alex was telling. So it,
well,
so
it, no, I mean, I'm just wondering.
Wait, this is Marit. Let's go through the purpose and goal of OPNFV. What it turned out to be was an integration test organization. And what the goal was, end-to-end testing was the part that was the most useful, versus just bringing up a couple of things, seeing if things worked.
I understand what OPNFV is. I'm basically suggesting that given the amount of manual intervention required to do an end-to-end integration test for ONAP in real life, that this will never hold water.
Well,
we're talking architecture here, Alex. Where we're going. Okay, sorry, go ahead, Margaret.
If anyone knows about testing challenges, I know, okay? I used to run all the layer 1, 2, 3 test organizations with all the vendors. The issue is, or the challenge is, how do you do it? So if everything's a VNF, which is an if, then conceptually you should be able to operationalize this. So people are trying to say here is the goal is a platform to at least allow us to be able to do it. Now the challenge of doing it is obviously there. But again, I say if everything's virtualized, you should be able to do it. When you get PNFs and people, it gets more difficult.
And what we're saying is that the test will be pluggable too. With this framework, you can say, I'm going to run test package A, which is just the stuff for the VNF vendors, or I'm going to run test package B, which is the compliance test, or test package C, which is an operator onboarding suite.
And it's a build. You do very basic things, which is what we did in OPNV, right? You just you basically say, can I get a connection up, period, right? Because that's half the problem. Can't even get a connection up. Yeah. Then as things get more and more standard, if I thought that, or easier, then you go to the next thing. Maybe I do performance testing, right? Maybe I do death, right? Okay. Maybe I do failure, I don't know.
So Chris just basically, you know, I misunderstood what Chris said. He said, you know, in Casablanca, we're going to get all this going.
We're going to get the architecture for this in Casablanca because we have most of these pieces here. We've been bringing them in. We brought in some of the tests from VVP. We brought in the Dovetail integration in Beijing. We had older marketplace tests. What we're trying to do is clean up the architecture.
Helen is using all of those tests.
Part of it. The Dovetail integration was experimental in the last release. The heat pieces we brought in, but we haven't integrated it with the rest. So we're trying to integrate this into one test engine, and that's what this proposal is about. How do we clean up the test architecture so that we can make this pluggable? So the pieces are all here. It's just putting them together in a better way.
Yes, and then the test cases get more sophisticated as we get better at this.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, why does this sound that off? I mean, why? I don't.
Most of this code is already in there. It's just.
No. I'm asking Alex. I don't understand what the.
I mean, architecturally, the picture looks great. The code is there. I'm just sort of, you know, if already pieces were there and we could use them to do integration testing to simplify our lives, we probably would. But then I see people spending sleepless nights doing manual setup to do basic things during integration testing, and somehow that doesn't reconcile for me with a statement that says we've got all the piece parts, we're just trying to streamline things.
That's not how. Well, that's not about standing up ONAP. This is about running the VNFs.
But that's it, right? I mean, to run a test case for a VCPE, it took weeks of setup when finally it worked, right? So what we're sort of doing here is making a huge leap of faith that all of a sudden...
But the setup wasn't for... It was to hack the ONAP, okay? All the components of ONAP to work together. It's not a VNF certification issue. It's a... Okay, so you need to...
The VNFs need to be certified. Okay, so Moshe, this is the thing, right? The VNFs have to be certified with the most current version of ONAP, not the one, you know, not the version minus one. And so...
VNFs will always be... Any compliance program will always be lagging. It won't be the current version of ONAP. It'll be what the vendors are delivering. Which will always be a little bit behind. It's just the nature of these programs.
But Chris, would we make it better? Like, for example, right now on the right-hand side, what you call VCP, VNF Compliance Platform, that's very misleading. I would think that is more a VNF test platform. Didn't matter if you're compliant or not. And then you quote-unquote profile or specific compliance, because there are different compliance testing that need to be profiled correctly to be able to get to compliance. So I would say that there is, in the architecture, you have a generic test platform. And then in the compliance, that's very, very specific use case.
Right.
Based on the specific VNF configurations, then you can say, okay, this compliance platform tests this use case, and here's the cookie cutter for that. But all the tools need to be as part of the testing platform. So by putting this compliance platform, people get a little bit mixed multiple things, because I can see lifecycle test platform for compliance is totally different than functional tests.
Okay, so we can change the name on this slide to test platform.
Well, not just changing the name, but the actual concept also need to be taken into the account.
So the compliance part is being managed by the LFN Compliance Verification Committee, tracing back to ONAP, you know, to the VNF requirements and to VNF SDK. So VNF SDK is providing the test tool for it. The requirements are coming from VNF requirements, and the program governance is covered by LFN.
So Chris, if I'm a VNF supplier, say I'm Nokia, and I've certified my VNFs with ONAP, a new version of ONAP comes out, does that mean I need to deal with different versions of different tests, or I become not certified?
The way that it works, we're rat-holing here.
How does this fit into the architecture?
Let me finish this,
it's date stamped. You get your VNF, and it's going to say you passed the test suite 2019-01. If there's a 2019-07 test plan that comes out, you don't necessarily come back for that. But when it's 2025 and you're running on the 2019, the operators are going to say, this is too old, go get something newer. So we have the use case for how we deal with upgrades and recertifications handled. This is just the test engine for that.
Okay, so the architecture diagram should probably reflect the fact that we may have different versions of Dovetail running side by side for recertification, as well as other tools that need to be versioned, somehow need to be managed as part of the RBO architectural definition.
Right. In fact, the test packages at the bottom that plug into this could be versioned. And we just
explicitly add the detail to the diagram so that we understand the complexity of this? For real? I mean, you're talking about supporting, you know, multiple environments under this test program.
Yeah. Well, Dovetail is being covered by OPNFV. We've already dealt with how to deal with the multiple versions. You keep a couple live at a time. You're not going to go back, four or five versions, but it's a couple. We can talk about how we plug in the tests and how we label them.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe I can explain from other perspective. That is, suppose that we have multiple ONAP versions of the live circuit test, and but the generic requirement of the test platform is just the REST call. So for our VM SDK, suppose we still call the VCP, and we just need the test platform have the capability of the REST call so that we can make the multiple ONAP version to support. That's from the other perspective to implement the multiple version of support.
Okay, so why don't we go ahead?
Wait, can I just make a comment? I just want to make a comment because Alex is coming up with practicalities and things. So I agree there are things that you're going to have to manually do to set up. But one of the key things is once it's all set up and then you start going to this version of ONAP and that version of ONAP, and that the manual stuff hopefully gets diminished more and more because things get more stable, you can start going into this next generation just to validate, even based on our environment, because that's half the battle, validating things, right? And the more you can validate, whether it's onboarding, you got all the pieces, or whether you can just put, data traffic through and maybe get to the more sophisticated congestion, whatever, at least it's there. Now, to pull this into production and so forth, yeah, there's still going to be manual stuff that probably has to get done. But if you at least have this structure of a set of tests to do some basic validation, it goes a long way. So when I was a service provider, we did the very similar things. Deployment of fiber and so forth was always a pain in the neck for years. But once it was in place and you started doing these new services that was really only in the CL, you had these basic tests for connectivity that helped tremendously that everything was still fine based on your change and so forth. So that's why I say, yes, it's not going to solve the manual stuff, the physical installation and whatever tweaking that may need to get done. But like I said, those supposedly should not change that much. And the next level, once you're there, is very, very useful and expedites, I think, the turnip of new services, try new VNFs, once everything's more and more software-oriented and the hardware doesn't shift that much. Does that make sense?
Yep. And we talked about that in the past calls, the continuity of testing, that we're still focused on the package testing. You may want to use this in the future, and then you start doing the lifecycle tests, and then you can do some enhanced tests. There's going to be a certain amount that's common, and that's where we want to focus. But if we leave the test engine generic enough, then the operators can plug in their specific tests. And this is where it gets bespoke for every operator. But it's still useful for the ecosystem. For the compliance program, we're doing the easy stuff. Where the labs want to go with this and where the operators want to go, they may add some more complicated stuff down the road. And Alex, I see your question about HPA requirement validation. It's the same as we do today. When the model is defined, you use the package tools, and then we validate that HPA feature has been defined appropriately.
Potentially, there will be new HPA features in current releases. And so, Well, as new hardware would have to be somehow deployed in order to test some of those features.
But we're not getting to that level. We're going to just check the package for now. We're not going to go that far yet.
Yes, maybe that. So HPA, we can have multiple parts. That from the hardware part, I think we obviously do not cover that. And from the package level, that we can validate that. And maybe you have some misleading that about the life cycle test. I think the life cycle test just as the VM life cycle. So suppose we have the instantiation, termination, and maybe have the update or other VM lifecycle. Maybe suppose we have also scaling, but suppose we want to test the HP. I'm not sure the how to test, but suppose we have HP need to test by the REST call or a shell script that as Kananga showed before, that we just need to have the capability of the shell script call or REST API call that we can make it. We can just make some kind of scripts into the platform that we can call it lifecycle, I think.
Well, you know, whichever way we choose to connect it to reality. I'm just saying that we need to allow VNF suppliers to build VNFs, some of which could be hardware accelerated on different hardware platforms. And you know, it's not just, you know, getting the latest box from Intel, it's getting the latest box from ARM.
That's going to be a level of testing that goes into the operator environment. Okay. We're tying into specific hardware, or maybe a third party lab. You know, maybe that would be a service that UNH would want to offer, or Cable Labs, or one of the other third party labs, that they're going to get all the latest hardware and they can add test to that.
So how do you start and stop a VNF if it probably doesn't tell the motherhood checks on whether or not the infrastructure has the right capabilities?
Those would be different tests here. We've been covering the dovetail and how that works with the system under test. A lot of this you'd have to set up first. You'd have to set up your infrastructure, and then it would trigger, you know, as part of the script, you know, bringing up the VNF and running it. But we're rat holing here. We're going, you know, far deeper and getting into some of the specific tests rather than into the test platform architecture. We're getting, you know, really close to the M2 milestone date. We got to get this locked down and we need to start adjusting the code.
Chris, can I make a really, I think this will clarify and reduce number of questions from me or from Alex or from other. Right now, when I look at, I understand what VNF package is doing, but the two bullet or the two box to the right, I've been chatting online. I think what really the functional test here is about ONAP functional test to make sure that this VNF or PNF that entering to the ONAP environment behave correctly, right? So it's not about functional tests on the application of that VNF. That is a complete, really many, many thousand different questions will generate. I think if you narrow the scope down saying this is about ONAP functional tests to ensure the behavior of this VNF operate in the ONAP defined environment correctly, and then you can define how this VNF interact with certain ONAP components. And that's part of that lifecycle test where ONAP component asks the VNF to be instantiate. Is the VNF behave correctly? But if you start to do applications, then you're going to be factoring a lot more question about application configurations to make sure it's configured correctly per VNF providers. I think that's a little bit too much at this release.
Right, we're not doing that. But
I know, but yeah, I think if the word functional test, put ONAP functional test and clarify what that is,
but
and just remove the lifecycle test.
Just to clarify, the package validation, lifecycle test, and function test have been part of VNF SDK since OpenO days. There are three repos. We haven't touched lifecycle test you know, since we joined ONAP. But we did work on function tests. Kailun did a lot of work there in the last release and package validation. So you're right. We're not going into how does a firewall work if you have a firewall VNF, or how do you do Volte. But we're talking about how does it plug in, how do you do robot framework tests on the VNFs.
Yeah, maybe the function test, yes, we can from two parts that the first part that is a function test can provide the generic framework for the VNF developer to to the let the VM developer to do the vendor specific test that what they want. And another part is from our VM requirement that VM requirement defines the VF, the UNF compliant VF behavior that we can get more clear from the VM requirement. So that's, I think, is a function test two parts. One is a vendor-specific script. We just provide the capability of to test this. And another more clear is from VM requirement, I think.
Then I think, okay, then I would still strongly recommend to separate this out. There are some, and I know from Stephen's work, VNF requirements, that touch a lot of the application issues. But I think the critical component here is that we need to have some tests so that make sure that this VNF behave correctly and obey the ONAP components in this environment. So that's the most important.
So maybe we could
break it up two parts, but group them together and having a discussion in combined will cause more confusions and delay.
So let's just pause here. We've got test framework and we've got tests. Right now we're talking about the test framework. We're not talking about changing the tests that we're writing, but it's how do we plug them into the framework. So let's lock down on the framework today because we got to code this stuff. We already have a bunch of tests that are available, and this will set us up to add new ones in the future. So you know, I really would like Connor, Garage, and Victor to finish their presentation and focus this on the framework. You know, we're not changing the use cases. It's the same stuff we've been doing. It's how do we implement this in a more flexible pattern going forward.
Yeah, we just want to improve the framework, right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I think that's all we also have. That's it.
Okay. So if we change the where it says VCP, VNF compliance platform to VNF test platform,
we'll do that.
Yeah. So are people okay with this from an architecture perspective about how we plug in the tests? This affects how we're going to define the marketplace backend code to make this more functional.
Right.
Wait, what are you going to change it to? Just say VNF platform?
The test platform, VNF test platform, just like it is on this slide. Because somewhere else it said compliance platform and people were getting...
Okay. Yeah,
next slide is just compliance. That's why.
I'll update the slide.
I'll
update the slide with the consistent wording.
Okay. So are people good with this architecture? Are there concerns about how we're putting this together?
I think, Chris, I think if you insist to leave it there, that's fine, but maybe put a footnote what the functional tests encompass right now so people would know.
Sure. Okay, yeah, I don't want to go in and rename the repositories because there's one that's called function test, but yeah, we can put an asterisk in there and call out what that is.
I understand.
Okay, so I'm hearing consensus about this architecture going forward, so we can start putting this into the tool. Did I get that right? I know people have concerns about the tests. We'll work on which tests plug in if we expand our suite, but I want to make sure that we're doing the architecture correct. Okay, not hearing any objections. I want to thank everybody. We stayed a little late today. I want to thank everybody for your patience as we work through this. This is an important discussion, and I'll wrap up now. We could do the status reporting offline, and I'll talk with everybody next week. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you all.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you. You too.